Welcome to CoinGeek Conversations. I'm Claire Seldren, sitting in for Charles Miller. And this week, we are joined by no other than Stefan Matthews. He's the co-founder and executive chairman at Enchain. Hi, Stefan, and thanks for being here.
Hi, Claire. My pleasure.
Now, Enchain has been doing a lot of work lately, particularly in the Philippines, and we're going to hear all about that in the next half hour. But first, let's talk about your personal connection to the country.
I've got a very personal connection with the Philippines. I've lived here for nearly 14 years. I'm a permanent resident. I'm married to a Filipina. I live in the province of Bataan, where a lot of the work and conversations that we're having about blockchain and blockchain rollout are occurring. I have, over the years, given interviews around blockchain and the technology and its application in the Philippines, and it's all about the Philippines having the opportunity to leapfrog other countries in the development and use of the technology. But the conference that I attended last October focused on training, educating, cross-skilling, building a development capability here in the Philippines that could build applications and solutions that could be deployed locally, but also deployed internationally.
And we're talking about the Global Blockchain Conference, which was held in Bataan, am I correct?
Yeah, it was. Okay. It was. You know, when I walked through the doors of that event, I was taken by surprise. I had no idea that the venue was going to be so large. I had no idea that the audience was going to be so large and diverse. I had no idea that there were going to be so many government representatives at various levels attending the event. But it became pretty obvious why very quickly, because there had been a presidential announcement the week before about the mandate to digitize government business and records in this country. There had been announcements about building a blockchain hub in Bataan.
So, right. And Bataan is where you live. And you've been living for how many years now?
I've lived permanently in Bataan for 9 years.
Mm-hmm. And now they are positioning Bataan province to be the blockchain hub of the country. What are your thoughts on that?
To be honest, until that week in October, I hadn't explored much of that peninsula, but I covered most of the territory in a few days. And to me, it just seems, of all the places in the Philippines, it feels like a natural fit for this type of activity. And the government there, I mean, I had, during the event and several meetings afterwards, I had some fairly deep conversations with Governor Garcia and Congressman Garcia. And their vision for this technology and the application of it in government is second to none. I mean, they are very, very progressive thinkers.
Mm-hmm. Bataan being a special economic zone, what is the significance of that in terms of partnerships?
Well, there are a lot of partnership activities if you want to take advantage of them. There is a special economic zone. There are tax incentives. There are PPP arrangements, that public-private partnership arrangements that they try to promote there. And they offer a lot of assistance in terms of office accommodation and other packages to try to get businesses to locate there, especially if they're related to blockchain. That's not the reason we're there. The reason we're there is the technology and the opportunity to do things with the technology that benefits the province, but benefits the country.
And shortly after that, you have this memorandum of understanding that you signed with the government of Bataan.
Yeah.
Could you tell us more about the partnership, what it's about?
Sure. I mean, we had meetings 2 days ago in Bataan to start the serious part of defining what the first rollout of a blockchain application will be in the province. Obviously, there's a lot of process involved when you're dealing with the government, and it was fascinating sitting in a room with the governor and his team He has a timeline which is very aggressive in his own mind, and the team obviously have a process that they need to follow, and the two aren't necessarily well synchronized. But we've all agreed that we're going to do everything we can to follow the governor's pace, and we're committed as an organization to work with his team to make sure that that happens. So if we're fortunate and we're able to dot all the I's and tick all the boxes through the approvals process that needs to be in place, we would hope that we can have some prototypes in front of his people in first quarter of next year. Now, when he heard that, he was very happy. So, you know, that is the type of time frame that he wants to see.
Mm-hmm. But what specifically are they interested in terms of blockchain services? What can Enchain really do for them?
What they want to do in the first instance is take processes that are being undertaken right now, either with pen and paper, and most of it is around statistics and census gathering, where home-to-home visits are done and information is collected on paper or on tablets. They want that converted into an application that can be updated from a number of sources, and they want to provide incentives for their constituents to keep records current. And then once they get to a certain point, they then want to start delivering dashboards that the government can use for decision-making around health, health management, education, provision of other government services and incentives to the population generally. Housing, decisions about housing. We found ourselves in a discussion for a short time that meandered into a lot of other areas. Mm-hmm. And then we had to pull it back and say, listen, you know, let's deliver small steps and incremental steps, and then eventually we have the application you want.
Great. Well, we're looking forward to that and updates on what happens there in the near future. You also have been in talks with the DICT, the Department of Information, Communication and Technology, and this was very recent. You had a meeting with them.
Yeah, the discussion started the game back in October.
Okay.
When I met the Secretary Ivan Oi and his undersecretary. I had a couple of discussions then, and we picked it up again this week in his office. And we talked about blockchain, and we talked about the applications that we were building in Bataan, but we took it to another scale. We talked about government data, the sovereignty of government data. We talked about the issues. If government used blockchain technology on a large scale, is that data available and accessible on the blockchain for others to read, for others to see? Mm-hmm. Is it private? Is it not private? And I reiterated to him discussions that these aren't fresh discussions. These go back to early 2015,
right,
when Craig Wright and I were brainstorming some concepts on a whiteboard about how you can set up nodes on the network that process exclusively transactions for a geography. Mm-hmm. And the data associated with those transactions can be stored in a geographic region and not accessed by anybody outside that geographic region. So you extend that, and suddenly you've got a situation where if blockchain was deployed on a large scale by government here, mm-hmm, you could have government-owned, government-run, or government oversight provided to nodes, mm-hmm, that secured Filipino data in the Philippines, mm-hmm, and was not accessible from outside the Philippines. Mm-hmm. So they were the types of discussions that I had with Secretary Oi, mm-hmm, and his team earlier this week. And this was an area of discussion that they'd obviously thought about the issues, but they hadn't found any solutions to those issues. And then, of course, we started talking about data centers in general and what data centers might look like that supported, you know, a large-scale blockchain network node, and whether that included hashing and mining. And that led us into areas of private-public partnerships and funding and all those, you know, related discussions that you end up talking about. Mm-hmm. But the interesting thing, when we concluded the meeting, we actually spoke to them about the fact that we're having a, a final meeting with Ateneo here this week.
And Ateneo is one of the top universities.
One of the top universities, and many will say the top university, but I'm not going to get into that argument. Mm-hmm. We actually signed an agreement this morning with Ateneo, and that agreement means that our team will be spending time here in the Philippines between April and June, and we will be working with faculty staff to train them on the delivery of blockchain courses and blockchain material. We'll also be working with them to finalize a curriculum for a course that will be run or offered in the second semester of this year. And it will be a leadership course. It's not a technical course, as I understand it at this point in time, because they run a blockchain basics course right now. This will be an extension to that. And then in addition, we will be sponsoring or providing grants or funding projects for three PhD students to at the university to extend their research in blockchain here in the Philippines. It also includes making available the entire intellectual property portfolio of Enchain for students at the university to be able to develop projects for blockchain. Finally, there is the internship issue. We want to provide internships both in our own companies and in terms of what we're doing in Bataan for university students to be able to complete their education. And that ties back into the announcement that I gave to Governor Garcia on Tuesday, is that we have now internally approved and we're committing to the rollout of a blockchain dojo incubator in Bataan. That, you know, stemmed from discussions back in October about the government supporting us with that initiative and providing space and other incentives. But but the incentives aren't what's driving this. What's driving this is ties in with the university. It ties in with education. It ties in with the delivery of a facility that will foster Filipino innovation in the building of solutions on the blockchain that will be deployed domestically, but also potentially internationally. It also allows us to contribute to possibly uncovering a Filipino unicorn, which is fascinating. And the areas that that have been discussed this week, particularly in meetings that I had yesterday, were around IoT that may be focused on agricultural, that focused on weather, that focused on disaster issues and management. Applications, extensions of applications in the supply chain area that focus on agriculture. So those areas will be prioritised and looked at. But obviously we'll also be looking at, you know, what looks like and feels like something that could be global and could be, you know, the seed of a unicorn.
Just going back to the blockchain curriculum in Ateneo University, where does Bitcoin SV or BSV come into play here?
Well, it plays a massive role because, as we all know, I mean, that's the original protocol. That's the protocol that caused this whole industry to emerge in the first place. It's the only protocol that scales unbounded. When it comes to building applications, transaction costs are critically important, and it's, you know, when you're processing transactions for less than a thousandth of a cent, that's important for startups. It's important for business. It's important for anyone planning Web3 or metaverse applications. And of course, you marry the BSV blockchain with the enormous intellectual property portfolio that exists within Enchain. Those two things are designed to come together.
And at the same time, the Block Dojo, which you're planning for Bataan, the startups that you're looking for, are they allowed to, I mean, the whole purpose of Block Dojo is for them to use the BSV blockchain in, right? So these are people who are already knowledgeable about
with, not necessarily. They could have great use case scenarios and not necessarily be intimately familiar with BSV blockchain. They could have those business cases and be familiar with other blockchain technologies. But they will, if they're coming into the dojo, then they'll be implementing on BSV.
Okay. And does it have to be in Bataan? Do they have to be Bataan based, or can they be from anywhere in the metro?
They can be anywhere in the country, but the dojo and the dojo services and support will be located in Bataan.
Great. We're looking forward to that. Sounds very interesting.
We better get that bridge built.
There's a lot of Filipinos who have these interesting startups, and we can't wait to have them featured and be seen. Now, yesterday, we were speaking recently about this. Something very interesting happened. You met with the president of the country. Tell us how that went.
I did indeed. I was a guest at the palace, and I met with myself and several members of my team, met with the president. We talked for roughly 2.5 hours, which was, I wasn't expecting to be allocated that amount of time. It was a very relaxed and informal conversation. It was over lunch in the palace. He was very much aware of the initiatives that were occurring in Bataan. I didn't know what to expect when I arrived there, but I found him to be extremely knowledgeable in a number of areas, but particularly in this area of blockchain. So he spent a lot of time reading and studying. We talked about replication of solutions from, you know, province to province. We talked about scalability and replication of solutions on a national level. And we talked about, you know, opinions as to whether things should be driven from one direction or another. But the message I got and the takeout from the discussions is that he's very watchful of what's happening in Bataan, wants to be kept updated, mm-hmm. and therefore I think we're obligated to do a good job.
Mm-hmm. Great. And what are his thoughts about using blockchain technology for government services?
He gave me the impression that through his research and studies and reading, that he's formed the view that blockchain is going to be more likely than not a solution for the types of change that he wants to make over time in this country.
Did he mention any concerns whatsoever?
He didn't raise the concern about data sovereignty, but I did. And that's because I had the discussion with Secretary Oi the day before. So I briefed him on that discussion, and he was pleased that I'd had that discussion with DICT. He was really interested in how a node might work, and he actually referred me back to DICT to talk about some very specific data center projects that are occurring in this country.
Great. Because the whole, I mean, he had a marching order, especially during his inaugurational address when he spoke to the country about streamlining government services through new technologies. And this is one of the things that the DICT is really trying to implement as soon as possible. So what do you think can Enchain offer the Philippines when it comes to blockchain services, Web3?
A lot. I mean, I'll go back to it. The first thing we have is our intellectual property portfolio. If businesses that are running Web2 applications and services mm-hmm. are moving into the Web3 arena, and they will need to if they want to stay relevant, they will, if they want to be differentiated and at the leading edge of Web3 delivery, they will need by necessity to be working with Enchain intellectual property. our portfolio is so deep and so broad in this area, and these were from research filings that go back to 2013, 14, 15, before people even started to use the word Web3. So we were fortunate that the decisions that we made on our focus and priority on research and filings were on these topic areas. So it's one of those unique circumstances that we have. We are at the forefront of Web3 delivery. So when it comes to this country and applying that IP to the dojo and to the universities and to other transactions and contracts and deals that we're in discussions on here, we're delivering the opportunity for this country to work at the forefront, the leading edge of Web3.
And Chain is powered by the BSB blockchain, or Bitcoin Satoshi vision. Now, out of the many blockchains out there, why should enterprises and governments use BSB?
Simple. Scale, cost, security, legal structure.
Well, that's it. I think that pretty much ends this discussion. Thank you so much, Stefan. And if there's anything that you want to add before we close the program, please do so.
Just that I'm so pleased to be back here in the Philippines. And I was going to spend the summer in Europe this year, well, the European summer in Europe, but business dictates that I'll be back here. And my family will be so happy to be back in the Philippines for a couple of months.
Busy, busy.
Yeah.
A lot of work to do in the next couple of months, and we'll be right here to follow that. Thanks again, Stefan, for speaking to us today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Join Charles Miller next week for another CoinGeek Conversations. For now, thanks for listening. And from me, Claire Seldren, goodbye.